friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Did you know that when you woke up this morning, His mercies were already new for you with your name on it right when you woke up? How about that? Hey, happy Thursday. Good to see you. It is Joey Kroll with you on this 15th day of September 2016. Good to see you. Good to fellowship with you. Yeah, here we are halfway through the month of September 2016. So how's your week coming along? You doing all right? You hanging in there? I'll tell you what, our boy Tim started soccer right at the tail end of summer vacation, and he's had, bless his heart, he's had either a game or a practice every single day except on Sunday. So we have been driving back and forth. Oh my goodness, we're excited for him because he uses his brain more. He's more of the heading to the Scholastic Bowl type of stuff rather than the sports stuff. But we're excited that he's active in sports. But my goodness, so much dedication and sacrifice we have to go back and forth every single day, Monday through Saturday. Oh, my goodness. Well, he's actually scored his first goal about the second game of the season. We're six games into the season already. So thankfully, praise the Lord, soccer season is going to be wrapping up soon. So don't tell my wife I said that. So, oh, man. Hey, I hope you're having yourself a great week. Hey, coming up next week, be sure to mark this down on your calendars. You're invited to the Champions Monthly Luncheon taking place a week from today, next Thursday, not today, but a week from today, next Thursday, the 22nd at 12 noon at the Meadowbrook Cafe for a wonderful afternoon of fellowship and inspiration, and enjoy a great, delicious meal of fried fish and all the trimmings. Mark Burns is going to be the special guest speaker, sharing about a little bit about Great News Radio and the ministry here. So if you're interested in something like that, again, it's the Champions Monthly Luncheon a week from today at 12 noon. At the Meadowbrook Cafe, located at 1902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. 1902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. And here's the telephone number if you want to get more details on that. 217-351-3019. Again, that's 217-351-3019. And if you're able to attend tonight or be able to at least pray for the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Champaign, they're having their annual life banquet tonight at the Hilton Garden Inn right there on South Neal Street in Champaign. Chet McDaniel will be the special speaker for tonight, and free event, just a free will offering for the ministry. Again, it's taking place for the Crisis Pregnancy Center's annual life banquet meeting tonight at the Hilton Garden Inn, 1501 South Neal Street in Champaign, 7 p.m. For more details, just call 217-398-6511. Or just visit pregnancyresourcecenter.org. That's pregnancyresourcecenter.org. Well, coming up here in just a few moments, I think you'll be blessed here today by our study together. You know, there's a lot of attacks on the Word of God today. There are people, there have been people, there are people, and there will be more people who will try to debunk the Word of God. And they all do it in vain, by the way. So today we're going to talk about, how do I know that the Bible is true? Got a great study here coming up for you right after this, here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see.
Truth and know, He is the way to heaven. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lift him high. We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lift him high. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see. We want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward. Little by little, we're taking down. Every prayer, a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high.
Well, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends here on this Thursday. Joey Kroll with you on One Day Two Friends met after many, many years. And one friend attended college. He was very successful. And the other one, well, he didn't attend college and didn't really have much ambition in life. So the successful one said after many years, catching up with his buddy, "So how's everything going for you?" And his buddy said, "I'll tell you what, one day I opened the Bible at random, dropped my finger on a word, and it was oil. So I invested in oil, and boy, did the oil wells gush." And he went on to say, "Then another day I dropped my finger on another word in the Bible, and it was gold. So I invested in gold, and those mines are really producing. Now I am as rich as Rockefeller." So the successful friend was so impressed that he rushed to his home, opened up a Bible, flipped it open, put his finger on a page. He opened his eyes and he saw the words, chapter 11. Isn't that great? I love that. Some of us are still getting it right now. But I'll tell you what, the Bible, though, friend, it is an awesome book. Amen. Really, God's word is awesome. The Bible is the number one selling book of all time. A survey by the Bible Society concluded that around 2.5 billion copies were printed between 1815 and 1975, but more recent estimates put it to at more than 5 billion copies of the Bible have been printed. You know, the Bible, friend, is the world's best-selling and most widely distributed book of all time. Amen. Why is there such a debate on the accuracy of the Bible? Why is less than 20% of churchgoers reading it daily? So today, I want us to spend some time talking about today how we can know that the Bible is true. I'll tell you what, friend, the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture in such a way that the words they wrote down are the very words of God. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed. See, friend, it's not just a Christian who claims that the Bible is true. The Bible testifies about itself that it is the inspired Word of God. God inspired the authors of Scripture so that the very words they wrote down were the very words of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." I'll tell you what, there are some times, friend, when I teach God's word in church, or preach it, or proclaim it, however you want to put it, there are times where I say something, and I'm thinking, boy, that was way too smart. That certainly didn't come from me. It was the Holy Spirit kind of stirred you up to put on your heart what to say it, when to say it. And, you know, friend, in fact, I can tell you that man is not the author of the Bible, because the Bible talks about sin. Think about that. Because the Bible talks about sin and man's depravity. I mean, really, if man had written the Bible, it would lift up man and not God. It would bring glory to man and not the Creator. It would not show man's depravity. It would show mankind that we have the ability to provide our own hope without a spiritual being. It's interesting that many secular novels, stories, and textbooks have been handed down through generations and generations, years and years and years. However, no one ever questions their accuracy or authorship. Has anyone ever said to you, "Well, the Bible is full of contradictions"? Have you ever heard of that? You know, at first glance, there are sections in the Bible that may appear to contradict each other. Really, I mean, sort of like the birth narratives of Jesus in Matthew and in Luke. They both trace the lineage of Jesus through history. But if you take a look at Matthew and you take a look at Luke and the genealogies of Jesus, there are some differences there. And a lot of people say, "Aha! The Bible is full of contradictions. Look at that." Well, friend, here's why. Because in the Gospel of Luke, it presents Mary's genealogy, and Matthew takes a look at Joseph's genealogy. That's right. One is the maternal, and the other one is the paternal. Or another one that someone uses is Exodus 33:20. God says, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." And this could be a confusing passage when you line it up next to Genesis 32:30, which says, "So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" 1 John 4:12 also says, "No one has ever seen God." This matter gets even more confusing when we look at Exodus 33:11, which says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." So the question on the floor today is, has anyone ever seen God face to face? Because you look at these passages and they look like they're contradicting one another. See, these are the passages that skeptics use to disprove the accuracy of the Bible. See, whenever God appeared to someone, it would never be in his full glory, friend. In Numbers 12:8, God is talking to Miriam and Aaron about Moses, and he says, "With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles." Watch this. "He sees the form of the Lord." Now, this means that he appeared in a physical representation of himself, but never in his full glory. He spoke to them here in Numbers 12:8 in a pillar of smoke. He spoke with Moses from a burning bush. Remember that story? He appeared to Jacob as a man. God also led the children of Israel as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God also manifested himself as a whirlwind as he spoke to Job. See, there's no contradictions here. God appears to people and manifests himself in a likeness or of a form, but never in his full glory. If we did and we saw it, we would die, according to Exodus 33:20. So there, at first glance, there may appear to be some passages that contradict each other. But if you dig a little bit deeper, we would have a better understanding. Remember what God's word says, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless, friend. We got to remember that. Every word of God is flawless. God's word can be trusted. The Bible not only testifies about itself internally, but there are things externally that testifies that the Bible is true. Archaeology have found the Bible, many parts of the Bible, to be true. The excavation of Jericho reveals that the walls of the city did indeed fall, as described in the book of Joshua. The Bible has proved true through many prophecies. There are people who say that the book of Daniel was written after some of these events because there is no possible way that it can predict all these future events. The Bible also touches up on matters of science that seem to go beyond what was known to humankind at the time. Isaiah 40:22 tells us about the spreading out and the expansions of the heavens. And the scientists didn't discover the expansion, the outer space, until the early to mid-19th century. So they're like, wow, look at this thing we found. No, God's word already told us about it. Jonah chapter 2 tells us that there are mountains on the ocean floor, yet scientists didn't discover them until the late 1920s. And Job 26 tells us that the world hangs on nothing. It hangs in space. The book of Job is thought to be written around 2000 BC, long before the nature of our planet and the whole space stuff was generally known. These things weren't new when they were discovered. God had already revealed them to us in his word long, long, long before. In 1947, there was a village, Qumran, which is a village situated about 20 miles east of Jerusalem. A young shepherd boy followed his goat that had gone astray, tossed a rock into one of the caves to scare off the goat who was in the cave, and he heard a crackling sound. And the rock actually hit a ceramic pot containing scrolls that were later determined to be nearly 20 centuries old. That's amazing. It contained writings in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and the writings contained many of the books of the Bible, 20 centuries old. And watch this, to everyone's amazement, it was identical to what we have still in our Bibles today. Friend, clearly this is a testament to the way God has preserved his word down through the centuries, down through the generations, protecting it from extinction and guarding against significant error. God's word can be trusted, friend. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Herbert Hoover said, "The whole of the inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets." To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life. Andrew Jackson says, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." God's word is true and can be trusted. The word of God is to your spirit what blood is to your body. Friend, the Bible is not the book of the week. It's not the book of the month. It's not the book of the year, but it's the book of the ages. God's word is true and it can be trusted.
For thy
Isn't this just a beautiful song? The Lord's Prayer by Selah, right here on today's edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. Well, looking at that clock over there, it says that our time is winding down here for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. But Mark and Jason in the studio will help you get through your Friday, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. That's 8:32 a.m. for our great Indiana listeners tomorrow morning right here on Great News Radio. Until next time, though, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.